Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Medical Care Blog's official podcast. I'm Jess Williams, co-editor of the Medical Care Blog, and today Lisa Flaherty, a blog contributor and parent of two daughters, is going to talk about birth equity with Dr. Sharla Smith and Valerie White. We'll offer listeners some special viewpoints regarding the topic, so be sure to listen with your volume up. Before our guests join us, we want to do a quick recap of the fabulous articles we had in the blog in November. The first one was about homelessness, and with homelessness being on the rise during the pandemic and the concerns it brings from a health and wellness perspective, writers Greg Stevens and Tom Fassbender gave us a fantastic initiative undertaken by the City of Los Angeles to legalize and provide tiny homes for the homeless. It was heartwarming to read how the community has come together to support this initiative. The holidays are upon us, and here at Medical Care, this blog was an entry that gave us all the feels. Next, we have writer Abby Levinson addressing a hot topic, Alzheimer's disease and testing. The burden of Alzheimer's in the American population has increased rapidly, and only a quarter of patients are currently detected. Ethnic and racial minorities are even less likely to fall in the early detection category, making early testing necessary. She takes us through the current state of care, a history of using biomarker testing in disease pathology of dementia, and how we can expand using blood-based biomarker testing for Alzheimer's to help navigate this patient population for early detection. And last but not least, we have a lovely perspective on health inequities in the digital age, addressing access to care and the social determinants of health that technology, such as broadband internet access, redlines, creating a digital divide, by authors Janelle Armstrong Brown, Jamie Humphrey, and Leah Sussman. What an apt topic for the new age of social media savvy world. We hope we've piqued your interest, listeners. Go check out these awesome blog posts from November on the Medical Care section blog to find out more, if you haven't already. Now, let me hand it over to Lisa to introduce our guest today.
Thanks, Jess. Today, we are talking with Dr. Sharla Smith, founder of the Kansas Birth Equity Network and professor at the University of Kansas Medical Center. Dr. Smith is a health services and system researcher whose primary research is maternal and infant health disparities, women cancer disparities, and community engagement. We are also joined today by Valerie White, a community impact manager for health at United Way of the Plains, who recently completed her MBA in healthcare administration from Wichita State University. She is also, very importantly, a mother of a very active and vibrant four-year-old daughter. We want to welcome Dr. Smith and Ms. White. Dr. Smith, the first question will be directed for you. How did the Kansas Birth Equity Network start, if you could expound on that?
Yeah, so great question. This work started with community engagement. So when I came to the University of Kansas School of Medicine in Wichita, I recruited my colleague, Dr. Michelle Redman, to work with me on extending to Kansas an initiative that was in Arkansas, which was bringing together sororities to create awareness around maternal and infant mortality. And so we created that community engagement to bring together sororities and fraternities, and it's called the Kansas Sister Bros for Healthy Infants, to create awareness around Black maternal and infant mortality. From that work, we started to do an annual event to solidify that collaboration and to increase awareness and education in our community called Celebrate Day 366, where we would celebrate more and more Black babies living past the 365-day. And what we did after that was we began to then talk about how do we increase this community engagement to bring in diverse stakeholders and to have moms and dads and other birthing persons at the table to really create solutions that comes from our community and consensus and real collaborative work. And so with that, we applied for a PCORI grant and received that, and we started the Kansas Birth Equity Network, which brings together 44 diverse stakeholders to create solutions around Black maternal, paternal, and infant health. And by diverse, we mean diverse in their work, not diverse in their race. So it will take all of us to create this. And our vision is really that every Black mom, every Black dad, every Black birthing person, and every Black baby deserves to celebrate the baby's first birthday.
Thank you so much. It's an integral part of what you're saying about bringing together KOLs, key opinion leaders, because that's really what drives the success of the program. So thank you so much. Ms. White, how did you get involved in the Kansas Birth Equity Network?
Yeah, so for me, I would say my path kind of was a little bit on the unconventional side. I was pursuing a career in Division I athletics. And when I was getting ready to have my daughter, you know, I realized, you know, I wanted to be more flexible. I wanted to have more control of my time. So I ended up being on the KU School of Medicine Wichita campus. And that's where I met Dr. Charlotte Smith, but I was also working on my MBA at Wichita State University. And I had the opportunity to take a class called the Social and Behavioral Aspects of Health. And that's when it was the first time I was introduced to the social determinants of health. And so at this time, I already had my daughter and I'm a master's student. And I'm thinking like, how is this the first time that I hear of these issues as a Black woman, as a mother, and I have to take a master's level course to understand what I'm going through. And so I also had the opportunity to participate in the local Clarion competition, which is an interdisciplinary competition. And here in Wichita, it's a partnership with KU and Wichita State University. And the topic the year that I participated was racial disparities and maternal and infant mortality and morbidity. And so I went from learning about social determinants of health and immediately, you know, having to solve an issue in this competition. And so Dr. Sharla Smith was, you know, open to me to come meet with her in her office often. And, you know, I gained much knowledge from her and she introduced me to KBIN. And I've been a part of KBIN for about 2 years now.
Beautiful. And that really plays out and demonstrates actually the social determinants of health and the learning curve that's happened to you in real time. That's wonderful. Dr. Smith and Ms. White, how has KBEN impacted your life from a parental perspective? And Dr. Smith, if you'd like to go first.
So as a parent of a young adult, I would say that KBN has been very influential in kind of the next steps in parenting for me. My advice is different now for my son. He is building his own life as a young adult and getting in higher education while he's doing that. But it has definitely prepared me for the next phase of life, which is being a grandparent, which is mothering a young adult, to make sure that he knows that there are places where there are safe spaces where he can advocate for his own children. He can be a part of his children's life early on throughout the birthing process, and he can advocate for the mom. So giving him those tools that are needed, but also as a grandparent and those things that I can help advocate for the safety and the health of my grandchild, who will also be a Black baby.
Thank you for that. Ms. White, how has it impacted your life from a parental perspective?
Yeah, KBIN impacted my life from a parental perspective, really in kind of multiple ways. It's provided a community of other parents that, you know, our lives get really busy. So a lot of times you don't have time to go and connect with parents. So KBIN has opened up that type of community. And it's also given me empowerment as a parent and as a community member, because there's so many people in KBIN from different walks of life and different professions, but everyone's voice is equally important in our conversations. And so it's really given me a voice and empowerment. And so it's kind of like a practicing for, you know, in the future when I have more kids, you know, I'll know how to use my voice. I know how to speak up for the things that I need during my pregnancy, and also to advocate for other women, my friends, and my family.
Thank you so much, Ms. White. That is so true. Sometimes we need to be the voice that others don't have, maybe now, then, or in the future. So we appreciate both of your inputs on this. And thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing your work with regard to birth equity. And now Jess will give us a quick preview of the medical care blog articles that will be published in the December issue of the Medical Care Journal. Jess.
Thanks, Lisa. Those were some great perspectives. Thank you again so much, Dr. Smith and Ms. White, for joining us today on the phone call. We've really appreciated having you on your podcast, and we can't wait to read your next two blog entries. I know there's one publishing today and I think one tomorrow too. So I hope all of our listeners go to www.themedicalcareblog.com to learn even more about this important work. This month in the Medical Care Journal, we've also got some really interesting articles about really different topics. A few of our articles cover the opioid epidemic. There is a special commentary by Ben Iovaldi and Brad McAlpine about how chiropractors are trying to use spinal manipulation to decrease the use of opioids, and how this might help reduce the scale of opioid use. In another article, Jonathan Arnold and colleagues didn't find any consistent evidence of decreasing opioid quantities following a prescription drug monitoring program mandates in a 5-state sample within the VA. It seems that in their sample, having a PDMP alone did not reduce the quantity of opioids given to patients. Additionally, a methods-focused article tested a risk prediction model to see whether it could predict which patients move from being opioid naive to becoming a long-term user. The model had fairly good success, suggesting that a similar model could be used to aid clinicians in formulating opioid prescribing conditions at the site of care. Now, how exactly that could be done while preserving patient autonomy would be an interesting topic for future research. Other articles in the issue cover the use of preventive healthcare services and the results of Medicare payment-based programs. Gabriela Silva and colleagues have a paper in the issue that examines racial and ethnic differences in all-cause 30-day mortality following admission for pneumonia and heart failure in a sample of veterans receiving care at VA medical centers. Their results are especially interesting because they include adjustments for clinical indicators rather than just claims-based ones. And they also have a large number of Hispanic veterans who were treated at the VA Medical Center in Puerto Rico. To check out these great articles and more, head over to the journal's website and read the December issue. Thank you again to Lisa, Dr. Smith, and Ms. White for being with us today. And tune in next month for another episode.